He gets more handsome every day.
Thank you. Okay. I sure do.
You posted that picture of yourself next to a cow holding a microphone.
That was a donkey.
And I was
you
like,
didn't know that was him, did you?
I was like, wow, he has aged like fine wine.
Yeah,
looks
exactly.
Way
oh, yeah, I saw
better.
That picture.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear any of that. What was it? I'm getting better. And I'm.
If you guys
you are
seen,
aging superbly.
Yeah, if you guys would have seen pictures of us.
Oh, my God.
15 years
do
ago.
Do you have some?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all known You'll, each other no. that long?
Is this an inquisition? Are you a lawyer?
We just had this
or
whole
no
conversation
comment?
While
is
I
this
played
on the record or off the record?
I played bartender / mediator that whole time.
You did. Yeah.
You were. That was good. That was very good.
Did I do
yeah.
okay?
No. So for 15 years, yeah. But I always chick said I just wish I would have met you earlier. And I was like, well, A, I wouldn't have been legal earlier, so we couldn't have done that.
Well, because according to what. Part of the world.
That's
you
right.
That's,
been
true. That's true.
I was somebody's baby mama at 14.
Oh, Pat, really? That's right. I forget all about that.
Yeah.
Is that the daughter that was with you in LA recently?
Uh huh. That's yeah. the gay daughter.
Oh, she's gay.
Yeah, she's a gay hoe. That's what I told her.
She ain't no hoe now.
Too.
I told her, I said, I'm kind of glad you gay because if you were taking all this dick. You would be no good.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, but she's a hoe. She don't keep him on. She got that. And I tell her, I said, you like your real daddy. You don't want to commit. So every time I turn around, it's something. Like, we have this running joke in our family. When she bring home a girl, we be like, we guarantee you won't last 3 Thanksgivings. And they never make it 3 Aww. Thanksgivings. That's Aww. The running gay joke at our house. We would not lock your number into our phone until you make it 3 Thanksgivings.
That's fair.
And nobody has made it 3 Thanksgivings.
Oh my
we don't
gosh.
Even befriend them on social media.
No.
They don't last.
Mm-mm. But that's how her father is.
Yeah, daddy yeah. was a hoe. But he would get a baby by you and keep you around. So he have a whole boatload. She just cut you off. I told her, I said, your problem is commitment. I said, I'm kind of glad you gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. you would be considered a hoe if oh, you were just a straight yeah. girl.
In a negative way. Somehow it's okay to be gay and be a hoe. It's more socially acceptable, do you think?
I think in their community.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, they're working with plastic.
I think gay. That's true, they are.
Plastic not, don't have no name.
Working in
no,
the finest
that's true.
Plastic.
That's true.
My son told her, he's like, when you have a baby, you want to give your mama American doll?
That's what oh, she oh. one of those little plastic baby. Okay,
yeah, that's what would be my grandbaby, American doll, a little Chinese black one they got.
Oh, stop.
I think that's one a common, a misconception among men in if they're in a gay relationship. They figure they can have sex because men, I don't think it's a real thing, but men think that women never want to have sex or guys are always begging the girl to have sex. But if two men are together, then they figure,
they just have
well,
sex all the time.
We're both going to want to have sex all the time, so we're just both going to have sex.
I don't think that's true.
That's not true, probably.
I don't either because I have a cousin named Fat Man.
Uh-huh.
And I said,
now, is that his birthday? Okay,
I don't know. I tell you, my cousins, I don't know their real names. So my cousin,
none of your cousins, you don't know the real name. What do they call you?
And,
they call you Pat?
They call me Rabbit.
In her defense, okay. I have cousins
Love
that,
that
are, we all have J names, and I wouldn't be able to tell you any of their J names. But our birth names are J names, first initials J. But other than but I wouldn't be able to tell you actually what their names are.
Oh, well, you're
are.
Cis, right?
I'm cis.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always been cis.
But my cousin, Fat Man, he's gay. And I asked him one time, I said, why are you gay? And this is, can I curse on this podcast?
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go, baby.
I said, are you gay? I said, why are you gay? He said, because pussy stank. I said, well, what pussy did you get that made you turn gay? That smell? What? Goddamn.
That's not just pussy smell. Like, that's something, that's foul.
Well, that's a lot.
You know
that's
what?
Lot.
That's interesting. Because this is a famous story. I left the Bob and Tom show in January of 1995 to go to San Diego to mm-hmm. do mornings. And they paired me up with a gentleman. And when I went to San Diego to do mornings in 1995, Caitlin was 2 years old. Now,
she was 2 years old.
So I get there and they pair me up with somebody. We get along great. But I'm there 3 months into the job. And he goes, there's probably something you should know about me. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I'm gay. And I go, oh, all right.
You really had no idea.
I had no idea.
Okay.
I mean, and stereotypically, he was the most masculine gay man I've ever
like
met.
Like overcompensating.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, but he seemed incredibly normal, had a great sense of humor. We got along fine. Is that my doorbell?
It's probably the FedEx guy.
Oh, no, there's nobody.
It had to have been.
Did we go check?
Yeah, why don't you go see who's there? It looks like a neighbor or something.
Okay, finish your gay story.
I'll cut this out. Okay, so I go, you're really? I go, well, how did, you know, and you get curious the longer you find, you know somebody. He goes, well, do you remember, you know how you feel when you see a pretty girl? And I go, well, yeah. He goes, well, I feel the same way when I see, I don't know if he said pretty, he might have said handsome or whatever. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, we've talked for a while. And I go, well, what happened that you, and he said, because to him, women stink.
Damn.
And I said, just like you said about, and I said, really? And I go, well, guys, butts don't smell all that great.
Well, I smell butt dust before, so it ain't too far.
You know what, though? I think it's deeper than just the surface smell. It's like the smell of someone that you're attracted to. That's a thing. See, when you smell someone that you're attracted to, it helps a lot in a relationship.
You know how you don't think that you're... And I hate this word, Miss Pat.
Vagina?
Fart. Uh-huh. You know how you're...
My shit stinks. I don't know nobody that don't think they shit.
No, I think this is a thing. People, their own farts don't smell that bad to them.
Shit.
I don't know what he's talking about.
But I always had this... If you're in a relationship, and whoever you're in a relationship, if they like are sweaty and smell bad and everything like that... she knows the story. And, oh, God, I smell horrible. And I never thought it was objectionable, even in the slightest.
That's an absolute thing. My boyfriend, we've been together almost 5 years. He'll go out, mow the lawn, come in the house, and it's kind of like, I mean, yeah, I understand that you're sweaty and gross, but like, I'm low key kind of into this right now.
Exactly,
it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
You're sweaty, and
it's your pH. Your pH is the
pheromones.
My husband come home smelling like his job, all the time. But I mean, I don't want to lick on him or kiss him. You know,
no.
I mean, I don't like that smell from his job. I mean, I'm not gonna lick a set of balls that ain't been washed.
Absolutely.
But it's not enough to turn me.
Have you ever, not to be gross, like right off the bat, but have you ever licked a set of balls where he didn't wash all the soap off?
No, I didn't. I don't lick balls, first of all. I got vertigo.
Me neither. I just heard about it on the internet.
Yeah, there we go. We heard about all this on the internet. Hi. Welcome back to the Chick McGee Show. Jess is here at the Jess Expo on Twitter. Jess Hooker _ on Instagram. Caitlin Kopetsky is here. Kay Kopetsky on all her social media. And speaking of big butts, my buddy Miss Pat is here. Stand-up comedian, novelist, soon-to-be television star.
Working on it.
Working on it with a wacky neighbor. Are you going to be... You don't need a wacky neighbor, are you sure?
I'm quite sure I'm going to have a wacky neighbor.
Well,
what do you think, Miss Pat? Stuff like that?
I make sure you get an audition.
I can't ask for more than that. Miss Pat is here. MS period, capital PAT. She is a national treasure and a force of nature. And she is a wonderful human being. And we're going to get caught up on Miss Pat. Every time she's on the podcast, it is always something in one of our most popular ones every single time. So,
well, thank you.
You're welcome. And it's good to have you here in my home, Miss Pat. How have you been? What have you been up to? Where have you been? Where are you going?
I'm going to Atlanta tonight.
Well, you have a home in Atlanta, right? You kind of live there too, or?
Oh, no, I don't have that kind of money. Okay. That bitch is rented out.
Well, you will, baby. You will. Okay.
I wish. Yeah. If I put them out, the motherfucker go foreclose. They pay my rent. And they're the worst. This is popping back at me. Do y'all hear?
Is it popping?
A little bit.
Loud?
I have to turn it.
Turn that down a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I have... That's too low. I can't hear myself.
How's that?
A little bit more, girlfriend.
Testing 1, 2.
All
testing.
Right, right. All right, right there. All right, okay. But I have a home, but I'm a landlord. It's the worst fucking job that you can have. I mean, my tenants, they've been there 5 years and they never paid on time.
Oh.
They have never paid. So now, before I get the text message, I'm gonna be late. I just already text them. I know you're gonna be late.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Just send me my money.
Yeah.
So they late all the time. All the time they're late.
Mm. Yeah. The worst I can do is be on time. Do you know that?
Oh, they have never been on time.
Never?
Not 5 years. They have never paid their rent on time.
Miss Pat.
Chick, well, I'm used to it now.
Chick what? Is
is obnoxiously early for everything.
For everything. Yeah, that's true.
And everything.
Did you just say before you drove over here, you talked to the New York Times? Is that what you were doing?
I have an article coming out next week in the New York Times and Washington Post drop, I think, Friday or Monday. Oh, they probably both drop Monday.
All right. Yeah. And then
Wall Street Journal, working on that. And
Wall Street Journal, and you're going to be on Harry?
I'm going to be on Harry.
Harry Connick's show?
I tape next week.
She's been on Harry. This
You've been
your
on there before,
second
I was
time.
Say,
right?
Yeah.
He's so sexy. I know. White women know. Love him. I had
he
no idea.
Who's
so
he married to? Somebody's not worthy of him, I think.
He was married to a supermodel.
Yeah, he is, but there's something a little bit country about him that
he's
you're
got,
like.
Because he's from the South. He's got that little bit of swag.
He can cook.
He's from, yeah. Is yes. he from New Orleans or something?
Yep.
Is that right?
From New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah, so he has that like. That drawl, that yep. syllable, that yep. like, I don't know what that is.
It's
but
hot.
I'll take
when
it.
When I go on this show next week, I'm going to wear my Falcon jersey.
Well, maybe we should start about, maybe we should start talking about that. Now, Miss Pat, I know, especially in a sporting arena, a situation, you tend to be calm and quiet and reserved, especially if your team's winning.
I don't think that's the case.
That's not the case at all. So the Atlanta Falcons are ahead in the Super Bowl, 28-3 in the third quarter. And
I cried.
Did you have money on it? Did you have money on it?
Fuck no. I ain't no fool now.
Well, and Jess's son, for what... Max, for whatever reason, the way he told me, he said...
He took two seasons and said, I'm going to decide what fan I am.
I'm going to look at everything and
he
decide.
He took two seasons. He said, I'm going to decide. He's like, because I'm not going to be a Colts fan. I hate Colts fans. I'm not going to be a Colts fan.
That's Max talking, not us.
And I said, okay, that's fine.
That's me talking. I agree. Yeah.
So he decided that actually it was also accessibility. We're in Indianapolis and you can be in Atlanta in like 7 hours.
Yep. Yeah,
and
I go
so
all the
he
time.
Said, yeah, so he said, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. And so we all...
And you tell your son he picked a hell of a fucking team. We got some young backs.
Now.
We build it. I'm telling you, we're going to be... I hope it's New England and us again in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
I just need to beat fucking Tom Brady. I hate fucking Tom Brady. That cute-ass white man. I hate that sumbitch.
I'm with
He's
you.
Fucking gorgeous. He's good. I hate a good white
He's
athlete.
Got a supermodel. Another one with a supermodel
I
wife.
Fuck his wife. I've never seen her, but... He just broke my heart. He broke my heart. I mean, I've never left a game with a panty liner so wet and tears rolling out my eyes. I was fucking crying. I was crying. Because, you know, also my sister-in-law died at the same time he broke my heart.
That day.
Did you hear this?
She oh, died my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah,
right?
She died
now,
watching the game.
She was at home watching it on TV. Yeah.
Like, legitimately, she was watching
she
the game.
She was cheering in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And she yelled too loud in a heart bust, and she died. And it fucked my night up. But I was crying the most for the Falcons.
Oh, my gosh.
Not my sister-in-law.
Makes sense. Makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. Oh. They just, I would never forget that. I would never forget that she died. I told him, I said, we ain't no winners, but we some killers.
That's insane.
We will give your ass a heart attack.
Yes.
Yeah, we will give you a heart attack. That broke my heart. But I know we're coming back this year. And my husband was like, we got a protest. We black for Kellen Kaepernick, whatever his name. I said, I'm all for protesting. I'm all for standing up for what's right for black people. But I got to do it with one eye, with a little patch on one eye. I can't go full protest. I got to watch my He's like, fuck you. That's not right. I said, well, I'm half protesting. I'm going to put a patch on one of my eye.
There you go.
So if anything going on to the left, I can't see the game.
No. You know, I, NFL fans, I think all of us, you know, and it's you know, common knowledge. I'm a Redskins fan, yada, yada. I've been a Redskins fan since Caitlin was minus 30,
Before
40
Super
years.
Bowl.
Yeah, 1967 is when I became a Redskins fan. And I think you look... Historically, you look at the teams and you see, well, who was close the previous year? Who was good?
That's common for that age, for Max to have chose them.
Man,
like,
if
yeah.
there's a team that's hungry, it's going to be the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
And, oh, my God. I don't want to play them. I know that.
They whooped our ass the way Muhammad Ali whooped all his opponents at. Mm-hmm. He let them beat up on them for about 4 or 5 quarters.
Rope-a-dope.
Rope-a-dope the shit out of the family. And I was like, slow down, motherfucker. They rope-a-doping y'all. Slow down. And after I was at the game. So after that first set, when halftime, they damn near had to drag them young boys off that field because they came out there. They they pulled their heart out. Oh. They didn't spread their heart out. They just gave it all.
Everything.
And Belichick was like, let these motherfuckers run their right. brains yeah. out. And that second quarter, they beat them down like mm-hmm. they were 50 years old. It was unfucking. Mm-hmm. I left my seat. I hid in the bathroom. I mean, I actually left a $7,000 seat and hid in the bathroom.
My heart hurts for that.
Man, my heart hurts for the motherfucking gay. Yeah. And you know my friend brought his daddy ashes in there, so he was spreading the ashes.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Caitlin, I don't think you've heard the story, Caitlin.
He was so upset that he had spread all of them and couldn't save none to the end. Yeah. I was like, you better be glad your daddy already on the fucking ground, because you don't have a pocket full of your daddy leaving up out of here. You don't have shit goodness. To spread at 24th quarter.
Gosh. That's right. There was so much going on for you at that game. The Falcons lost. Your sister-in-law had a heart attack.
And me and him spreading ashes and the first two quarters.
Spreading ashes in the first two quarters.
Oh, my God.
And were they $7,000 seats?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So where were they? 50-yard line or close? Or
no, they was down in the middle, please.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Were you talking to Patriots fans all around you? I know you were.
Yeah, I was on the Patriots side talking cold cash shit.
I would love to see
Wait a minute.
I was talking
cold cash shit.
I would love to see your two asses at
Falcons Redskins game.
Anything. Chicks that guy who
we
gets
don't
there.
Play you guys, do you?
No, we no, don't. Not no, this year. No,
I don't
ever.
Know.
We playing the Cowboys. I got my tickets for that shit.
And you know, I
invited some fans.
Maybe Chick could go as a Falcons fan to
I'll go cheer
game.
Anybody but the Cowboys. My two favorite teams are the Redskins and anybody against the Cowboys, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys quarterback, but I don't like them motherfuckers either. And Green Bay can suck a hot black dick. I hate Green Bay fans.
That's for my buddy.
Because we have to go through them fuckers to get where we're going. Yep.
That's for my buddy true. Marty. You know what the NFC Championship is going to be? The Atlanta Falcons and the Washington Redskins at that new stadium in Atlanta.
Oh, it's cold-blooded, too. That thing is cold-blooded. Wouldn't it have been nice if we could have taken a trophy in that bitch?
Wouldn't that have been nice? Yeah.
Man, I thought we had it. You know what it is? Arthur Blank, somebody need to give him this podcast. Can you stay your boogie old ass off the sideline with them black preacher suits on? Them black preacher suits are janking the shit out of us. He done became so black, a old white dude in a pink and purple suit. Set your old ass down to the game over. You're running out there looking like a black preacher out there ripping off fucks and shit. He's the problem.
He was on the sideline a little early.
Stay your old. Wasn't his suit purple that night?
You know, Jerry does that. Jerry Jones does that for the Cowboys.
Well, Jerry Jones got Super Bowl.
It was
green.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
it
you're
was
right.
He always wearing them loud ass suit like he a black pastor. He's attending. He go to a black church. Set your old pimp looking ass down.
His wife was doing it too, though. She was all
Mrs. Blank.
Yes, she was.
I ain't never seen a wife, but set your old ass down somewhere. You janking us. Every time we get close, he bring his ass down there with them black. Bell-bottom pastor suits. Mm-hmm. They be bell-bottom, too. Have y'all noticed that shit? Mm-hmm. And I think he got on snakeskin shoes.
Wide leg. He's forever wearing that wide leg. Yep.
Yeah. Please set your ass down somewhere. I say they should kidnap him and tie him up to the last second of the game.
And not let him down on the field
because he jerked the shit out of him. He ran his stinking ass down there, and that suit had negative energy and made us lose the game.
I can't argue with that.
It must have been something. It was a very mobbish, like, pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
It wasn't purple, but it was loud.
Yeah, it's always loud. I mean, they done taught him how to dance and shit and everything. Did you see him dancing after we beat Green Bay? Well, I was dancing that night, too.
Because
I went to the game. I went to that playoff game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to quite a few games last year. I'm blocking my schedule, so if I'm shooting this sitcom, I'm going to be like, look, y'all, I'm sorry. I got to leave. I have to go to Atlanta and watch my fucking Falcons. And they probably like, bitch, fuck you. You want this check or do you want to stay here? I swear.
What's the
answer?
Do you want the check or do you want the
I'm
Falcons?
I'm going to the game.
Yeah,
because I know
right.
you're not going to shoot on Sunday.
You're damn right.
I would drive and drive all the way back.
Here's the thing. If you don't go to the game, you're not going to be happy. And if you're not happy, your work's going to suffer. You can't not do that.
Well, tell the studio that. Fox, I hope y'all hear that.
Well, when does that
when does the shooting start?
All start for your sitcom?
Well, we changed writers.
Okay, all right.
We changed writers about 4 months ago, so we just made it to the next step, which is the outline. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, if everything go good, because mm-hmm. People don't realize TV is fucking hard.
It's an eater of material. It gobbles up everything.
Well, not only that, it's just so many people got to say so. And with me, it's I got Imagine, which is Ron Howard Company.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Lee Daniels Company. Then we have 20th, and then we have Fox. So you got to
Get through all of them.
Yes. Oh, first, you got to go through Lee Daniels and Imagine, and they got to give you the okay. Then 20th. Then 20th has got to put in their 2 cents, and then it goes to Fox, and Fox kick it back and say, well, go do this and go do that. Literally, it took us a month and a half just to make it to Fox. We just got the okay last week to write the outline.
Now, I was going to say, so what happens? What are they approving? Are they approving your pilot? Or are they approving?
Well, we reckon on approving the pilot. Okay. So it's got to be what, you know, do they think it makes sense? Is it a good pilot? You know, do they like it? All of this stuff. They got to give it, hey, we might not want Miss Pat at the store. We might want her to come out of this driveway. Just everybody got to say
most minor details.
Endless notes.
Endless notes. Here's what you should do. Three different companies.
And so here's my question. Did each one of those tiers that you have to get through, did they read your book and go, okay, we're going to go off of this?
I say a lady at Fox read my book. Okay. I don't know if 20th read my book. Okay. And I tell them all the time, if you would read the book, you would get who I am so much. Mm-hmm. Other than just me sitting in a room talking to you. Because, the pilot is something that really happened to me.
Yeah.
And so, and it was like, well, we don't get it. It's like I'm from a different world. Sometimes they don't get what goes on in the real world.
Right.
Sure. Like they don't know what it is to be a convicted felon and not get a job.
Right.
And they don't know what it is to lock your grown ass kid outdoors and not get him a key to your house. I get like, why would you lock your son out? Cause bitch, he don't pay no rent. I lock him out all the time.
And was he stealing? Was he lying? Was he?
No, he just don't pay no rent. And if you allow him to come in your house and eat your shit and steal your detergent and chill out at your shit and burn your AC while you're not home. So we put a little padlock on the door where you need a code and we won't give him the fucking code. Because my son will walk in my house and take my laundry detergent, take my soap. Well, hey, mama got it. I got it. No, motherfucker, you 30 years old.
No, and you're not contributing.
You're not contributing. So we lock his ass out. So it's just stuff like what we want to introduce. And we have to make sure it's really clear to them so it'll come to the audience.
A life that they have never known.
Some of them, I think.
Yeah.
Some of them.
No, right. I think that's absolutely. What did I say? That's the truth. I mean,
Lee Daniels.
They're removed.
He did the Terrence Howard show and the
Empire. Yeah, he writes that. We have a writer for my show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He writes Star, his other show.
Yeah,
and he
Star,
did The Butler with,
With
Oprah.
Precious.
Okay. Oh, he did Precious? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was his Oscar. Yeah, he got one before that. He did that one with Halle Berry and the white dude.
Oh, Monsters Ball.
Monsters Ball.
Yeah.
Halle got an Oscar from that.
Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah.
That's his too. He directed that one.
Yeah. I never saw Precious. I read it. I didn't see it. It was intense. It was too intense. It was fuck.
I saw that movie and was like, it don't go. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It wasn't a happy ending. I'm like, God damn. Y'all done beat the girl. Ain't gonna give her AIDS.
It was
a little rough for me, and I'm black, and I'm from the hood. I was like, God damn.
It's
like when I tell my story sometimes, black people are like, God damn, you had it rough. Now, you had it rough when other black people go like, damn, what was you raised there? So I watched the movie. I didn't read the book.
Yeah, it was intense. Too intense for me to watch the movie. It was too much.
Did you finish it?
Oh fuck yeah, yeah. And I was.
What is it about you? You can read a book, but you can't watch a movie or a TV show unless you get. She gets all like.
I get very like if it's.
I can't watch. She shuts her eyes. She.
I don't like it when it's intense and stuff like that. Like I can read the book. I'll read the book, but if. Fuck, I can't watch an NFL game if it's on the line. It's important. I got to walk in the kitchen and start pacing. What the fuck's going on in there? Like, I can't. I just can't stand
Me
there
too.
And watch
That's
it.
True.
No.
I can't do scary shit. I don't
like
scary
shit either.
And I don't like, I went to go see Detroit. Have y'all seen that?
Oh, I haven't. I want to, though.
It was fucking good.
Is it great? It's a story about, good.
I think it's like 60-some. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Late 60s, yeah.
Yeah, the police officer go in this house and kill all these black kids. And mm-hmm. it was so fucking intense for mm-hmm. me. And I'm sitting there, you know, they say black people talk in the movie. And I'm the one that tried not to talk. But I found myself like, come on, white people. What the fuck are y'all doing? And I had to apologize to the white people I'm sitting around. I was like, God damn, you gonna be that racist? But this shit happened 30 years ago. Yeah. But I'm screaming in 2017.
Yeah.
And you walked out, people walked away from that movie like, they I could tell white America that was there with me felt some kind of way.
Right.
Because I shit have changed, you know.
But has shit changed?
Well,
I mean, for a lot of us,
for a lot of us, it has.
Right
has
now, this minute, I mean, with stuff going on in Charlottesville, say, and yeah.
But right now, as a white woman and seeing what happened in Charlottesville, I don't feel like a you fucking never, thing has changed.
It has changed. It's just that, you know, some of those people, it was... It has changed for, I mean, think about this. Think about your friends who probably was raised a certain way. But as they got older and they looked at the world a certain way, and it's like, well, damn, this shit my daddy taught me was kind of fucked up. Those people change. Then you got some people who's never going to fucking change. Mm-hmm. Racism is never going to go anywhere. So we need to stop trying to get rid of it. You can shoot 100,000 motherfuckers in the head. It's still a motherfucker out there that going to hide it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's never going to go anywhere.
And defend it and say it's okay.
I'm 45 years old and I've never, ever seen the shit that I've seen today. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this country today. And I've tried, I'm a big ass Democrat and I've tried many times to support our president. But when he spoke yesterday, I almost cried.
I agree because I've always said you have to have some kind of respect for the president.
Yes.
I've always said
Bush, but he was my fucking president.
Yeah.
I don't like Donald Trump, but I mean, come on, y'all. He's the fucking president.
He is the fucking president, Ms. Pat, but what has he done? He won't, like, if you know what? If you're a raging fucking racist, then say it.
I respect people. I say this all the time. Stand by your racism.
Exactly.
I hate the racist motherfuckers who say it then mm-hmm. apologize. Yeah. No motherfucker. Because if I tell you fuck you and I don't like you, I'm going to stand by fuck you and I don't like
you. Exactly.
Don't take it back because the world know.
Yeah. Or don't tiptoe around it.
Yeah, be who you are.
We don't like hate. Well, nobody fucking likes hate, but what...
Some people like hate.
Some people do like hate.
I hate the Cowboys. I know that. Does that matter? I hate New England.
Like, his first response was like, how can I not address that I am a white supremacist, or I support that?
I mean, that's what was scary. You know, the person who's leading the country to say, well, it was wrong on both sides. And I'm like, President, you know, they trying to stop these people from, you know, hating mm-hmm. a certain type of people. You shouldn't hate people for the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my fault that I'm black. I'm glad because I don't need suntan lotion, but it's not my fucking fault.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm a black woman, but I'm buying your fucking hair. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't fault people for what they're born into. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, that's the problem I have. Like, I have a dentist in Plainfield who fucking will probably lick Trump balls if you let him.
Yeah. Oh.
But I go to him and people's like, he's a racist. I'm like, he's not a fucking racist. He's just a white man who fucking scared that America is going to take his right. And I tell him all the time, it's like, we need you, white man. We don't want you to go nowhere. Without you, who the fuck going to buy New Balance? Without you, who going to buy suntan lotion? Without you, who the fuck going to buy real rap music? Black people don't buy rap music. Your kids do. We need y'all. Who the fuck going to drink Mountain Dew if you get rid of white people, white men? We need you, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We don't want y'all to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But why can't we all just live and get along? That's right. My thing.
Well, that's the thing that
so you're, so
I'm puzzled about is this kindness, common courtesy,
empathy,
compassion, love. I mean, people get more upset when they see a dog hurt than they do another person.
Yeah. No,
know?
A black person.
A black person.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, you're right.
They'll shoot a black person in the head, but you shoot them up. We can't, let me tell you something. I've gotten in the argument with my neighbors about ducks shitting in my yard. Fuck them ducks. Get them out. Let them shit in your yard. If you love them ducks that much, you tell them to stay the fuck out my yard because I don't like duck shit. They got long turds like motherfucking black baby.
And they're green. It's Canadian geese.
They have a movement like middle-aged men. It's like a giant, it's like a dog dump.
Yeah.
These birds.
And they care more about... let me tell you. So when I first moved here and those geeks was running around in my apartments and they was blocking traffic. And I mean, I'm in my 40s.
Miss Pat, they were running around in your apartment?
No. They was crossing the street with the fucking babies.
In your apartment complex.
They was crossing the street with the babies all slow and shit. And they was holding up traffic and I got a piss. And I'm like, ducks, move the fuck out my way. So I didn't want to run over the ducks. So I get out the car and I started slinging bottles at them, like drink bottles. Go. You know, and the lady behind me, I'm calling the police. I don't fuck you, bitch. I will piss on these ducks. I got to go to the fucking bathroom. And they're holding up traffic. Got 20 babies behind them. I could have ran these motherfuckers over, but I don't want to do that. That's not right. So I'm throwing bottles like, get the fuck out the street with your kids, duck. I got to take a piss. She called the police on me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they just came and said, don't fuck with the ducks. But I'm like, damn, I'll fuck your way. I'm the one that got to pee.
Like, you could have done so much worse. I feel like slinging bottles at them wasn't the most
And I wasn't hitting them.
Done.
I was just telling them to get the fuck out the road. I got to go pee. But they'll fight your ass. Did you see the man on the internet who the duck was whooping his son ass and he went out there and beat the duck ass? They locked him up or they gave him a ticket or some shit?
Yep,
they
I
got
did
more
see that.
Rights.
I did
Why
see
do we
that.
Love animals more than we do people? I mean, you can literally, your dog can get hit by
that.
A truck, and you can go and buy the same exact dog, the same exact color. My mama had a chihuahua, and we didn't realize she had went through about 6 chihuahuas, because she would get drunk and go off, and the fucking dog would run off or get hit. And she would go to the fucking pound and go get the same fucking dog the following week. The same dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you had no idea.
No, we didn't. You know what was crazy? Because the dog was named Chihuahua, and we didn't realize that was his breed.
That was the breed, too.
When she bought him, I think she thought the man at the vet said his name is Chihuahua. Oh, she just liked the little fuck. It was, now you call him Taco Bell dog. Yeah, but that, you know, that I don't know what's wrong with this world. I try to let people speak their minds, and I try to, you know, with me personally, I just say, you know, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, that's your opinion. I'm not going to put you down because you voted for Trump or you believe this whole thing. That's your fucking opinion. And we got, that's what's great about America. Mm-hmm. We got a right to voice our fucking opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't try to change. My husband tell me all the time, you trying to change our dentist. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm trying to tell him we need him.
What do you say to your dentist?
I cuss him out.
Miss Pat, you don't cuss your dentist out.
Yes, the fuck I do. I tell him all the time. I said, we was talking about affirmative action. He was like, well, they should. Why should my white son not have the same rights as black people when they go to college? I said, do you understand that black people been stopped using affirmative action? What are you talking about? I said, go Google this, bitch. Do you know who benefit the most from affirmative action? He was like, who? I say, white women. Mm-hmm. Them bitches got their rights when that fucking law passed. Mm-hmm. I said, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I said, white women use affirmative action more than any fucking body do. Mm-hmm. Wake the fuck up. I said, you stuck in 67. Wake up. Nobody, you know, talk, well, my child, well, I don't want to be a minority. I said, bitch, it ain't that bad down here. It ain't that bad, and you might get a better tan. I told him, did you know if you put black people oil sheen on your skin, you would tan much better, bitch? No. I said, that's why you look pale in the eyes. Because you ain't using the right suntan shit to go out there and bake in. Get you some black friends so we can give you the secrets.
I just miss the times when, like, everyone was really pissed off that President Obama was wearing a tan suit instead of a black suit. Like, can we go back to that part? Or,
well,
like,
and remember how
Michelle Obama was wearing, like, sleeveless dresses from J. Crew.
Right?
And everyone was so upset about
remember,
it.
Remember,
President... She looked like a man and was a slut. Obama... And she was ugly.
Remember when he wore the mom jeans and that was everywhere?
That was adorable.
Yeah,
adorable.
Right?
Yeah.
And... But now... And remember George Bush... The little one, not the dad.
W.
He was like, oh, well, he doesn't know what he's doing.
We always thought he was the worst president.
He's the worst president in the history of the world.
And then we get this president. We're like, we miss you.
Fuck Obama. I miss George Bush. I'll take George Bush back.
Was
fuck,
he not the
I take the daddy back. I wasn't even born. Give me Nixon.
Yeah, Nixon, Carter.
You see those pictures of how fucking goofy George W. was, and you were like, bless your heart. Bless your fucking
heart,
dude.
W.
Well,
I tell you what.
If you see those pictures of him, remember when he got a shoe? That's the son.
I like George Bush because he was fucking gangster. You remember when they threw the shoe at him?
Yes,
he was like, hell no, motherfucker, I'm throw my shoe back at you.
He ducked right out of the way. Just boom, and it went right past his head during a press conference.
He was so fucking gangster. Yeah, he did not play that shit. I didn't vote for him, but I was like, you know what? I should have voted for this cool-ass, crazy white man. He didn't give a fuck
either. Well, you know, the thing that made me love him more is when they didn't go to the inauguration, but they fucking showed up at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, they sure were.
This year.
Yes.
Right?
The old Bushes.
Old Bush.
Senior. He said he was in the hospital.
He had both in the hospital, and I don't fucking doubt it. They called 911, they're like, come fucking get our asses. We ain't going to the inauguration.
And he
come
had on the parka, the poncho.
Yeah,
but they both in their fucking motorized scooters just riding out there.
Oh, you're talking about the mom and daddy.
Yes,
mom
and dad just rode out there at the Super Bowl. They're like, hey.
No, when you saw the son at the inauguration sleep.
Oh, he's asleep.
He was fucking asleep. I was like, he don't give a fuck.
No.
George Bush used to crack me the fuck up.
I know.
And you know what I liked about it? When Kanye went on TV and said, George Bush don't care about black people. He's like, I don't give a fuck what you say, Kanye. He never responded. Whatever. All right. But you know, we'll look back on this shit and say we miss him too.
Yeah.
You find shit to laugh at. You always find shit to laugh at.
That's the hard part.
Absolutely crazy and goofy and strange what's going on. I mean, no matter if you're Republican or
Democrat.
Well,
you know, I told my dentist, I said, one thing I know about history repeats itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember, I told him, I said, remember back in the day when you used to grow your curly hair, dentist, and you thought you was a black man with them bell bottoms on with the fly collar? I said, that's all. We back in the 60s. I said, we back going through, when was Nixon president?
68.
Yeah, I said,
this
is all Nixon era. We didn't get it because we wasn't born. So this is all Nixon era. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but that's the only president I can remember with so much chaos other than when Bill Clinton got his dick sucked, which I didn't see anything wrong with that. You know, look at Hillary.
You get
a certain age, you ain't sucking dick. Come on, ladies. Somebody sucking dick.
You know what? And everybody picked on Monica, but I kind of liked her.
You contract that business out.
Want to suck the president dick?
I would do it.
Thank you.
I mean,
come on.
Who don't want to suck fucking... Trump dick. He's the president.
Okay, honestly, I wouldn't do it.
Ms. Pat, I love you.
Some bitch out there want to suck Trump dick.
Some bitch would.
I just need to put
on the record that like I would not suck President Trump's dick. I mean, that needs to be thrown out.
But you know what? He'd grab your pussy.
Unwillingly.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, is somebody out there that...
That would, just would. For the sake of saying.
Yeah,
just
I mean, Monica Lewinsky, I mean,
I think she fell in love.
I do, too.
I think that's a bullseye, and I think Bill kind of was.
You know how I know?
I don't think he fell in love, because they say Bill had been fucking bitches from the start of time.
He was cute.
Let me tell you about Bill.
He's not bad looking.
Did you meet Bill Clinton? No, that was the first year I ever... Got a chance to vote.
Yeah.
Literally, I didn't know shit about Democrat. I didn't know nothing about Republican. So back in the day, they used to send you all that little mail in. Vote for this. So I put Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. I was like, oh, this old ass white man, he ugly than fuck. And Bill Clinton was drop dead gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of reminds
you guys
you
think,
of Kennedy.
No, I don't so, see it.
No, man,
no. Oh, People always joke that Bill Clinton was the first gangster president.
I think he's handsome.
No.
I think he's an okay
no, he
guy.
Gorgeous.
He just started rocking that silver fox kind of look. And he was confident. And even the way he fucking walked, he was like, so sad. And that night
he went on our Centennial Hall and really turned black and played that
and
home.
Played the saxophone.
Man, that made black folks run out and vote like a motherfucker. And I was like, I'm vote for him. He cute. Mm-hmm. But he was gorgeous. So that's how I voted, because he was, Bob Dole was old and ugly, chin hanging. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want to vote.
That's how Kennedy won, because he was so gorgeous.
Was
everyone
gorgeous.
Voted for
Who
him.
Who cannot vote for a sexy white man before he turned wrinkled?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Well, you know, that,
you know what? I wouldn't vote for Bill now. Have you seen Bill?
Oh, bless his heart.
God bless him.
He's had a lot of problems.
He's about 70.
Someone suck that man's dick now. Right? He got it back in the day.
That man ain't got no dick. They don't turn into a vagina. That old thing in a plastic bag on the shelf.
Oh, my God.
I guarantee you Hillary got that thing in the safe.
Oh, that's probably true.
That shit ain't working.
That's true.
That shit probably in a museum waiting on him to die so they can say, this is the famous dick was sucked by Monica Lewinsky,
you know,
along with the drawers.
But do you remember seeing her face and going, oh, bless her heart. Like, she loved him.
Yeah,
oh,
she really did. I think she would. She would at
who
least
couldn't
a,
have loved
a giant
him?
Crush. I know.
Loved him.
According to Miss Pat, he was fucking gorgeous.
He was, but you know what? I look at situations like that, gorgeous. And I was like, if they would have met me, I bet he would have loved me. He
yeah,
fell in love with me. Like that's how gorgeous he was. That he made me think that if he met me, he would have fallen in love with me.
Dick.
I could have. No, I know I could have.
Women can do that at any time they want, right?
White women, it's not up black to women. We
what?
Have moves, birthdays, and holidays. Mm-mm, we got to really need something. We have to really need something.
Is that right?
False. Yeah, I'm not.
Now, does your husband know that
no.
Not even a special occasion, or he's not even going to discuss
my husband it? You know what? When you've been married and been together so long, mm-hmm. sex becomes a conversation.
Okay.
Hey, you just talk. And you talk each other sleep, and then you woe out like you had good sex.
That's nice.
I mean, nobody wants nobody humping it. I mean, I'm 45. I don't want no dirty vagina every week. I don't
so
want
what
that.
So seriously, what?
No, and a stimulating conversation is,
I know,
is very much
we're talking about him paying the bills.
Sexual
my show.
Turn
regular
on.
Stuff. I get
my
it.
My husband is not going to be talking about shit dirty.
A dirty conversation.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
okay,
like
okay.
An intellectually stimulating. Not
yeah,
like I'm going to take my finger and stick it in.
Okay.
No, not that kind
of none of that.
No. Just
but
like
when you've been together for so long. I mean, we've been together since we was 20 and 21. So we great conversation.
Right. But
yeah.
But what about when the mood strikes?
I'm usually out of town.
And you're by yourself.
What about, are you, when you're out there in Hollywood and you're casting and you got some say in what's going to be going on in your show, or you see somebody at Harry, or you see Harry, what do you,
you
think then? Do you like, I'm going to have a stimulating conversation with Harry or what?
No, I you know what? I'm not attracted to other men. It is so fucking crazy. And I think
Pat,
honestly.
You just said Bill Clinton was fucking
gorgeous.
Bill
Clinton before I knew my husband. I was 18.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair
but
enough.
You like if eye contact, I don't eye contact other men if I feel like, you know, it could be something there. I mean, I just.
That's also being really respectful of your husband.
Yeah, I don't, it's just not there. I don't see men like that. I just, I can talk to anybody, but as far as I can say, oh, I would like to fuck him. No.
How do you react when men come at you? Because you're a beautiful woman.
I don't fucking know when they're coming at me.
Because
I'm like,
you
what the
just
fuck
have
you
that wall
about?
Up and you don't
yeah,
even.
Yeah, I have that wall. I'm like, what are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about, dude? I'm married.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they think I'm cute, by the time I done got on stage and told them I had crabs, gonorrhea, and fleas, they so turned off. don't want
okay.
me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have men's hidden on me.
Yeah.
And if I do, I don't know it. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know it.
Well, Caitlin and I were just having this conversation
right in my kitchen just an hour ago. How they can't go out into public without a man coming.
That's not true.
What's up, girl? Stuff all the time.
Charles Murray, that is not what I said. What I said was that I have dated the three white men who have ever hit on me. That's it. And every
did you
other
date black men before?
No, that's what I'm saying. The only other men that I've No, but no.
She said her contention
my
is
contention
that
is
black
that
men hit on her more than
way
white
more
men.
Than white.
You
men.
Know why? Because you
we got
ass
fat asses.
Here. Yeah,
we got
yeah.
that
they
ass.
Love, they love asses. Yeah. In
well,
here.
Caitlin, you're in the same.
But there's something. But there's
do
something
they hit on you, Caitlin,
all the time.
Yeah,
but that's
you
the thing.
Date black men?
I used to.
She it her was great. Her boyfriend now is white.
My boyfriend now is white. We've been together 4.5 years.
Do
we
ever ask you about dating black men?
Huh?
Do you ever want to know about black men?
He, I mean, he knows the full story.
No, do he want to know?
Yeah.
Do
he
do
knows
the whole
everything.
Dick measuring contest?
No,
honestly,
because his dick's huge. Matt's dick is huge.
How the fuck you know?
Because she told me.
And you just going to say it on the podcast?
I'm going to because
she went there, I guess.
I love Caitlin. I love Matt. I love that they
we
do
didn't
it
have
each other.
To go there because it was like no big thing because he was
so
like,
is
all
it
right.
like a black man dick
yes.
or it's just.
Saying Matt has a big dick's like saying today is Wednesday. Everybody knows it.
Very girthy. That's what counts.
Well, no fucking girthy mean. Does that mean fat?
Fuck fat.
It's fat. It's like a
okay,
Coke can.
So I'm
it's
into
like
I'm into men who
you
have
like Pringles,
fat
Pat?
Bellies.
Yeah.
Fat bellies and fat dicks.
Oh, you like fat guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why the dick
but
is
but they
girthy.
Gotta have a fat dick.
No,
too.
not because he's fat though.
Is it short or long?
Like, it's perfect. It's the perfect size.
I don't like little fat, short dicks.
No, short men. Perfect length. Great. I'm going to regret this later.
No, you're not. It hits the spot.
It's just perfect. You know, I'm sure that your man is the same way. Yeah, it just is the perfect spot.
Because my first kid's probably had a ghetto dick. And
what makes
it
what makes a ghetto dick?
A ghetto.
Just
big and uncomfortable. The person who got the dick can't read.
There's no conversation, stimulating or otherwise. Just a lot of grunting. What was the smallest guy you've ever been with?
I'm 45 and only slept with 5 guys. In my whole
life. Oh, yes, Pat.
Love that.
Honestly.
Miss Pat.
My kid's father, my friend, a guy, Travis, my husband, and a guy I dated for a little while. So that's 4.
That's 4 guys.
That's only 4.
Less than a handful.
And I can't even say 4 because I dated this guy for a while and he used to work out all the time. Mm-hmm. And his penis was so little. And I kept saying, is it in?
That's happened.
And I kept saying, I just said, hey, get up. I'm going to call my baby daddy.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. That shit was so little.
Oh,
you ever pull your panties down for a disappointment? Mm. You want to run out door and say, hey, anybody out here looking to take something?
That happened to me one time.
Yeah. Yep. And then you got to look that person in the face and say, it's okay.
You know, wherever that guy
but it's
is.
It's not okay because it's like.
No,
because
you can't wait to get to your phone and tell your friend. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about this little dick.
Yep.
I think his dick was in jail and his body was out. It's nothing like a dick that play hide and go seek.
Mm. Would you ever have sex with a white man other than Tom Brady?
Tom Brady?
Oh, no.
Or Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Oh. I don't know. I've never dated outside my race. Really? I've never had a person outside my other than a black man.
Really?
Hit on me.
So you have no idea?
I get it. No, I mean, I don't give a fuck about color. It's about you. It's about the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about, do you have back teeth and a job? And can you read? And are you a nice person? Mm-hmm. Do you have an STD? That's my checklist. I don't give a fuck what color you are.
That's legit.
So I would. I mean, but I never dated outside my race. Mm-mm. Not at all. But you know what I get? I get a lot of guys now, because I do a lot of podcasts, that hits on me. And they're white guys. And they be like, you're so fucking sexy. Mm-hmm. You so pretty. I'm like, for real? So I get that a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I have a big young white male following that think I'm sexy with
Have you ever considered doing like one of those things where you make all these young impressionable white men pay you money for nothing? Because that's a thing. That's like a dom sub thing.
Who the fuck doing that?
A lot of people on the internet. Not that I would know.
That's true.
Well, and they,
but a lot of people.
Well, not only they pay you money, but they
you don't have to have sex.
You don't. No, they really just want to see you.
And they set up an Amazon account. You set up an Amazon account. And you give the information to the guy, and they buy you things on Amazon,
or they send
like
you a
that.
PayPal link.
We actually had a politician.
I don't know
at
Twitter.
In
I know all
that
of
this.
Did this.
Do
Are you
now?
Kidding me?
We had a politician in Indiana who I. Yes, who
Let's
I know personally
not.
Who did this.
Oh. That's wild.
Yeah.
It
but that's a
public.
Thing.
Was it public or?
Oh, it came out. It was very public.
Oh.
Was it a Ursae? No. All that ass he been showing. Woo, that Ursae is a trip. But I don't know.
I don't think that's over either. So.
Oh, it's not over. No. I mean, it was a nice set of titties he tweeted.
I saw that.
Somebody, when that tweet came out.
They knew who it was.
That some intern somewhere.
Time out. She's a Russian porn star.
Yes, but, I mean, they, from her.
But they could tell her from the neck down.
From her neck down. Exactly neck to was. The From her neck to the top of her knees. Some guy looked at that and goes, oh, that's Misty Hyman or whatever the hell her name is from such and such. Some guy knew just from that.
Right off the bat.
Wow. Nice set of titties she bought.
Beautiful.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You didn't like the titties?
No, I just, I don't know. I don't know. There's
to
something
know
about,
it right off the bat.
Yeah.
Just
like,
a look
if,
at a picture,
if,
no face.
That means that
my
person
man looked,
watched
yeah, exactly,
too much
too
porn.
Much porn. Yes. If my man looked at that and said, so that's so and so, and I'd be like, leave.
What?
Leave.
I don't really like men that look at porn.
I don't either.
You know, because like when we was younger, I think my husband was in it too a little bit, but I used to always say, you can't watch shit. You can't go out and watch women that don't look like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't
do these splits. Expect me to behave that way.
I can't jump out the ceiling fan directly onto your penis. First of all, I got extra shit in between my thighs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got diabetes and I can't be on no ceiling fan. I mean, I don't understand.
You know what? I'm going to speak for him. You could try. Okay, oh, you could give it a
first,
try.
What a silly fan is going to hold me? First of all,
There's something that really. And I don't. I'm super sensitive about this, and I feel like I'm usually pretty open and liberal to stuff like this. But dating someone who watched a lot of porn growing up, that shaped who I was as a woman.
You watched a lot of porn?
No, I didn't. He did. So he expected that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that shit. Excuse me, sir. She was at work.
Yeah, she was at work.
She was filming a film for you. This shit ain't real.
Exactly.
She don't go. Look, this bitch is somewhere right now making eggs and oatmeal for her baby.
Right. Come catch me at Pizza King. I'll fucking kill it at Pizza King.
You know what, though?
Yeah. That's when I was at work.
And I'm whatever you do, as long as you're not hurting anybody or dogs is fine with, you know, like physically hurting anybody. But there's a point where you are consumed by pornography and that world.
Because it waters you down and then you expect some really fucked up
stuff. You become desensitized to, I don't want to use the word normal, but missionary sex or whatever, and that's just
plain lovemaking.
Not you enough become, anymore.
Yeah, you be
it, it
you
just
become
do it for you.
Don't you think so?
Flip over and let me kick you in the ass. No, I ain't doing all that. I'm grown.
That's why when you're looking at porn, not that I would know because I'm the good girl in this podcast.
That's exactly right.
Look up the amateur porn.
Well, what the fuck is amateur porn?
It's just like normal ass people who are just let's film it and put it up on something.
It's like couples. It's couples.
Let me tell you something.
That's very much the norm now, is it? The amateur stuff.
I always say, you know, when I used to go to church just to eat and get baptized, they taught me everything.
I used to go to church to play softball, so it's okay. Yeah,
they taught me everything you do in your life when you get judged, that God is going to flash it back. Mm-hmm. And that is something I didn't want him to flash back. Pat, why are you watching porn? I got an answer for everything else in my life, but I could never come up with a good answer while I'm watching porn.
Because you're horny.
No, see, because I feel the same way. I
hate seeing other people fuck. Mm-mm. It is not fun.
I don't
turn
like
the
to
life
see
I don't
fuck.
Make. Yeah. I was about to say that. You ever had a bed that where you see a mirror, you're like, let me put up a sheet.
Stop it. No, yeah. I know exactly what you mean because I feel that way. Because I'm really into being in connection with my ancestors and the people in my family that have passed. And what if I'm by myself?
Sex?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, what if they creep up on me while I'm looking at porn? I don't want them to see. I don't want my grandmother to see me looking at porn.
Well, your grandma probably always hanging around. She watched porn, too.
I mean, what were you saying about mirrors? You don't like mirrors? I like mirrors. You don't like mirrors?
I don't like mirrors.
No, men always like mirrors.
I like
what is that about?
I like a mirror so I can see how I'm doing.
No, because he loves to be a fan. He loves to root himself. Like, yes.
Most men do.
Give myself a thumbs up in the mirror. Yes. Go, yeah, woo.
I don't like a chick. I'm 45. I've been sexual active for a long time. Just give me the conversation, something to eat, and I fall asleep with crumbs in between my titties. I'm good.
Oh, nice ham salad. Nice ham salad sandwich afterward.
I need to go find me one right now. I'm so
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back with the one, the only, Miss Pat on the Chick McGee Show.
I need to buy myself not being drunk right now.
If it's not if it's not a Redskins something, it's a hat.
Like he bought like 6 t-shirts and printed out the receipt.
Yeah, needed to see what t-shirts he bought. He also, to us the other day, what did he do? He had a package that came during the podcast.
I'm right here.
Sorry, but it was Ralph Lauren hats. It was Ralph Lauren hats.
Okay, honestly, those are cute as fuck, and I really want one.
Thank you.
The Ralph Lauren hats?
He bought 4 Ralph Lauren hats, 4 different colors.
I bought 2.
With the polo sign on it?
No.
Aren't they so cute?
But you know, where did you buy them from,
Ralph Lauren.
Polo online. Ralph Lauren
You can't do that.
Why?
You gotta
buy them at Ross.
Wasting money. You gotta buy them at TJ Maxx. They're fucking $19.
What? Where? I've never seen
TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross.
Look, I just bought my husband all polo and all. You got to do it. Macy's have the most fucking awesome sales.
Yep.
So I bought the hat, which was $28 or $30. And I called back the week later. I was like, yo, dude, this fucking hat is on sale now. I got $8 back per hat. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm a petty bitch like that. I don't have your money.
No, you keep your receipts from Macy's. They'll price match.
Forever.
They'll come back and they'll give you the
Target will do? If you take something back and you didn't even buy it from Target, they'll take it back for you.
Nordstrom's is that way too. You could have wore really? That. You could have wore that dress 1,000 times, and they'll take
Nordstrom
it back
will
full,
take it
full
back?
Price.
Hmm. I love Nordstrom Rack. Mm-hmm. Can y'all
you
hear need, me?
Yeah, yeah, we can.
You want you
okay?
want to be louder or lower?
I just can't hear myself. Oh, uh-oh. Shit! Oh, it was upside my head. I'm sorry. I'm fucking old.
That damn like, hat. That damn hat was in your way. Okay.
My hat was falling.
Okay.
In
two things. Two things. You
is
didn't
okay
have your
right
headphones
now?
On right, and Caitlin is drunk as fuck. So you need.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm great.
I fucking love Nordstrom Rack.
I do. Too.
I love
do too.
It. Yeah.
But Tom, you, I mean, damn, Tom must be talking about me, chick.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm really
she
sad now.
You, no, she
I fucking
you
love you, but I don't. You know what? I'm on the phone. I was on the phone. Talking to my friend, and his mm-hmm. name is Tom. That's what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
But not you. Not
she's
the other
lying.
One. No, that's what I was doing. I'm getting tickets to a show in Atlanta.
She was doing work on our break. She was doing lots
yeah,
of work.
Yeah, but you got to go to places like TJ Maxx and Marshalls.
I love Nordstrom yep. Rack. I'm there.
Nordstrom Rack don't have polo. Go to fucking Marshalls for the hat. Mm. That same hat you spent $30, $40 for, it's $19. But you know what? I'm working on a bit about I said, at first you don't understand why the president wants to do tax cuts for the rich, mm-hmm. but now I understand it because they go and they buy their shit straight from Polo. So they need a tax break. They buy $22 soda. They need a fucking tax break.
Uh-oh. Miss Pat has a phone call.
I'm sorry.
I love podcasts.
I was in California, standing at the Beverly Wilshire where they shot Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
That's aww. Where I stay every time Fox bring me out. Beautiful-ass hotel. I feel
yeah.
so fucking out of place. Make a long story short, I ordered a ginger ale because I didn't want to go out. 1.5 ounces, she come to the door. And I was like, how much is that? She said, $22.50. I said, bitch, give me the ice and get away from my dough. I kept the ice. It was a 1.5. It's like what you get at the club just to chase
yeah.
yourself. Who the fuck paid $22.50?
Well,
I think I paid $7 for her to bring it to me.
It's very good ginger ale. And
oh,
yes,
not
I'm
a
sure
fucking I could have walked to the CVS and got a bigger can.
I was going to say, I got 3 cases of ginger ale for $22.
Last time I was at the Beverly Wilshire, it was me.
The last time.
Mad Dog.
Have you ever been to the Beverly Wilshire?
I have never even
well, no, this was this long
California.
Ago. Oh, no, wait a minute. Maybe I was there since. It was me, Mad Dog, and George Lopez, and the Lakers were playing basketball, so it was in...
You guys went to the donkey show that trip.
Well, that was, yeah.
What?
I don't know if we were on our way. No, we just come back from Tijuana. I can never tell the George Lopez, me, Tijuana story until George says it's okay. But
it's terrifying.
It's, I was looking in one ads for, but there was no Craigslist. There was.
You looked in the back of the newspaper.
These newspapers yeah. for ordering women to come to your room.
They're called prostitutes.
Yeah, they're called prostitutes.
No,
hoes.
They were
hookers.
Instead of
easy.
Instead.
Well, they probably took a bath, so they're hookers.
Instead,
I mean, no, they're escorts.
Is
they're
that
escorts.
What you say? I don't know where it comes.
Instead from. Of ginger ale, they were bringing pussies.
And it was $22.
And it was $22.
$22 for a hooker, or $22 for
what
1.5
year was
ounces
this?
Of ginger ale.
I was gonna
ale.
Say, what did she look at your dick for $22?
No, by making all this up. To be funny, but
oh,
no,
I was about
we,
to say,
we were
you,
looking
you
for
didn't, you did not pay
no.
$22.
No, we ended up
of,
not having anyone come
I
over.
I tell you, the price of
that's
the
a lie.
Prostitution used to get like $50 to $100,
absolutely.
And when crack hit the black community, that shit went down to $5.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's one of the reasons why I sold crack instead of selling pussy because it was just too much work for $5 a customer. So I said, I'd rather stand on the corner and sell a $10 rock
wait
than get on my knees for $5.
Yep.
Did you? Now wait a minute, Miss Pat. I didn't know. I know you. I know
I
you
never
sold,
prostituted.
You,
no,
I,
no.
you sold drugs,
saying,
but
two,
you never sold your sex in any way.
No, it was two jobs you can
Miss
have.
Miss
Pat, in black
are you
community.
Sure?
No. I never sold pussy. No, because I had my first boyfriend when I was 12, so
what
I didn't
about,
get a chance to sell.
What about
pussy.
A hand job?
I gave a hand job to a white dude one time. my sister used to sell him pussy, and so he came by one day and he wasn't there.
Oh,
so I was a big ass wrestling friend. Oh, Lord, please let Ric Flair be okay because he's in the hospital.
I know.
So,
prayers and thoughts and prayers for Ric Flair.
Yeah, I fucking love Ric Flair.
I think he's in a medically induced coma, and
yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
The
he's not doing
boy
well.
About to go down.
Yeah,
but anyway, I used to go watch the NWA.
Yes.
Remember? Before all this other shit, it was just the NWA. Not, it not was the WWF.
Not Dr. Dre's. Not Dr. Dre's NWA.
National Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, Associate. Some shit.
I thought
like
we
that.
Were talking about like OPP.
No.
So I used to go by.
Somebody get Caitlin a drink.
I used to go to the wrestling matches in Atlanta. So they used to be shot right there at TBS station.
Yeah.
And it was like $6 a ticket. So I would go out and fucking hustle and get $6 with my brother and buy me a ticket. So I'm on my way to the wrestling match. I probably was 11.
Oh, my God.
Miss Pat, you were not 11. Don't tell me this.
You're 45?
I'm 45. Oh. I don't know how old. I was young. But anyway, the little man who come by and buys pussy from my sister picked me up, and he asked me, I said, hey, give me a ride downtown. And he was like, well, I'll give you $20. You want me to jack my dick? I was like,
You're watching or helping?
No, he wanted me to watch it.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay. That's not terrible. I said, give me the money first.
Because
my sister, you know, I see my sister turn tricks, and, you know, you learn. And I was like, give me the money first. So I got that money, and I looked out. When he's like, are you looking? I was like, yeah. But the motherfucker really don't pass your zipper.
Where has this conversation gone then when we got to the point where gave this little 11-year-old girl money?
I wasn't 11. I don't remember.
She was older.
I love wrestling.
This guy's jacking off, and we're all, she's just watching. Oh, yeah, okay.
Just watching.
All right.
Well, I was able to buy popcorns and hot dogs and soda. I was never able to do that at a wrestling match. Girl, I fucking upgraded my ticket.
And you just caught a little bit, you just watched a quick live performance real quick, and then you're right into the movie.
Hey, I was like, this is pretty easy. But I'm never a prostitute.
You know what?
Never used drugs.
I have. But it's called commercials, stuff like that.
It's called marriage.
Reading commercials. Yeah.
Those that legal, took a turn.
Those legal entanglements.
Oh. I'm just saying. No, but do you ever think back of the first time you had a man ask you to do something that you were like, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you can remember it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
What was it?
I had a guy want to take... I asked him, I said, hey, can you drive me home? Like, you live close to my neighborhood.
Are you under 18 at this point?
Yep.
Oh.
And I got in the
car.
Was
he also under 18?
He probably... I think he was.
He was driving, but he was like 16 or something.
17, I think. I was 16. He was 17. And I was dating one of his really good friends who had basketball practice. And so I didn't get a ride home from him. I got a ride home from his friend. And all the way home, he was like, just suck my dick. Why won't you just suck my... I'm giving you a ride home. Why won't you suck my dick?
Aren't boys gross?
And I was just like... And now that same guy lives in my community. And I And I'm just like...
You're gross.
Yeah,
you know what?
Gross. You know what?
I don't care what he says. I don't care what story he's sticking to at this point. He remembers that.
He absolutely remembers it.
Oh,
you
can't forget that.
You know why? Because we've been in the same cafe at breakfast time before, just him and I, like one 88-year-old guy, and he wouldn't even fucking look at me.
Absolutely.
He knows exactly what he did. Grabbed my face, grabbed me under the chin. And said it. Yeah, like shit like that.
And you didn't whoop the hell out of him?
I know. Like, what was I thinking? There was something fucked me up to where I didn't feel like I could stand up for myself.
Yeah.
But now I see that motherfucker every time.
Mm. And he knows.
Yeah. And I'm very...
I say the four of us
I'm fortunate
get in the
that
car.
That's as far as it went.
The four
drive
of us
down.
Get in the car and go find
this
motherfucker.
Ass.
What did he do?
I asked him for a ride home when we were in school.
Was he in high school with you?
Yeah, he was 17. I was 16. No, he grabbed my face. He was like, "Just suck my dick. I'm giving you a ride home."
You should've
bit
it.
White boys are the worst.
That's what I should have done. They're so entitled.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who's so entitled?
White boys.
Oh wow.
They really are. They really are.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I'm black.
The first peen I ever.
The first peen, yes.
I ever saw and decided, you know what, this is going to go to the next level. I made him wear a condom while I sucked his peen.
You did?
Literally, because I read it in 17 magazine.
That 17 magazine tell y'all some crazy shit.
Yeah. They were like, they told me. Not,
was it
disgusting?
Flavorable?
No, it was fucking
It was like
gross.
Sucking on a balloon.
It was nasty.
Yeah, it was.
But I was like, I'm not going to get an STD.
No, but bitch, you're going to get some dry mouth.
Yeah.
Guys,
exactly.
But
I remember,
hate that.
I remember getting 17 magazine at home, and my dad grabbed it from the mail one time.
Oh, I bet he did.
And he was like, fuck this. Yeah, like, yeah, you don't get to read this anymore.
It's a lot. Yeah. It taught me a lot about myself.
17 magazine was not what you
thought. That and the American Girl doll book, that taught me how to put a tampon in.
I just bought that
for
my daughter.
Whoa, whoa, yep. How does an American Girl or these dolls, right?
Yeah, remember we were just talking,
talked about them. American Girl dolls.
They got them with tampons?
They have a book
that tells girls how, like, your body's changing and this
so
is what's going to happen.
So after a while, your parents are going to be elite. You're not going to need your mama.
Yep. That's
what's your mama going to teach you?
My mom said, here's the book, and I had a mirror in the bathroom.
There's not a lot of moms.
I'll tell you,
the
way I learned a tampon is when I was in jail doing time one time.
Oh, my God.
How old were you?
I was 18, 19 in jail.
The first time you went to jail? 18?
No, I was doing time then. I had to do
How long were you in prison?
Right about a year.
Okay.
So I had a roommate, and I put it in wrong. I put the whole cardboard box in there.
And left it?
Yes. And that is the most painful shit.
Sweet,
and I was
baby
like,
Jesus.
I'm hurting so bad. And she was like, oh, Miss Pat, it's because you left the box.
The
you left the cardboard. The applicator in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I didn't have a sweet 16 book to tell me anything.
Oh, my gosh.
My father goes, there's the Hooks drugstore. Here's your money. There's instructions in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother didn't tell me. My mother wasn't there to tell me what to do.
My kids everything. A lot of parents don't want to go
too.
Down that road.
I do too.
I tell my daughter all the time. I have a 19-year-old daughter. I was like, dick is delicious. You should really get into it.
And she doesn't want to?
Well, she just, she's a daddy's girl. And I'm like, you really should find you a
like
man.
Like a sheltered type.
Very
naive.
Sheltered, 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish she would move the fuck out of my house. But she was like, I'm going to milk the system like everybody else. You owe me this. And you're responsible for me as long as I stay in college.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 26.
No,
I can have be on your insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's
okay,
like,
but we need that.
Where's she going to college?
She got into Marion, but since I have my niece, custody of my niece's kids,
yeah.
I think she's going to IU.
So how your niece's children are how old?
3, 6, 8, and 7.
And you're taking care of all those children right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. Wow. 3, 6, 8, and 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4. I started over.
You're 40. I was going to say, you're 45, and you've been raising children since you were 14.
14, yeah. And I, you know what? When I got the custody of these kids, when she ran off 2 years ago, I had a talk with God. I said, look, God, this is my last set of crack babies. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't do it no more.
Mm.
I'm done.
So you have, I'm guessing the youngest one's in preschool?
Yes. And you know, I live in, you know where I live at.
I know
it's
where you
not
live.
Free.
No, it's not. Isn't
it? You have a beautiful, I've seen pictures. I've never been invited.
If anything,
but,
it's more expensive than a lot of places.
You
know what? It's crazy because when I tell my friends back home in Atlanta that pre-K costs, they's like, it costs? That shit is always free where we from. Mm-hmm. I pay over $600
a month.
This kid.
Oh,
and when she was in
gosh.
Daycare, I paid over $1,000. So I moved her to pre-K.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was like, who the fuck would have a baby without money in this day and time?
No
you
one.
Have to be out of your debt. And I thought it was hard for me when I was still in milk in 86, 87.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys got to be crazy. My son just had a set of twins and he had to move in his mother-in-law because they can't pay daycare. But I was like, didn't I tell you not to fuck around that you could not afford daycare? You had one baby that you was doing real good with. Now you got three.
Time out. Your son, I knew he had a baby. He just had a set of twins, too?
Yeah, 4 months ago.
Oh, my God.
Miss Pat, really?
Yeah, little boy, little girl. I mean, two boys. One cute, one ugly.
Well, yeah. I thought you said that. Oh, they're just fraternal twins. They don't.
Yeah, they don't look shit alike. One of them looked like my son. One looked like my son and my daddy. And the other one looked like, I don't know. Like he was just put there. And it's so funny because one of them neck is crooked because the fat baby sat on the other baby head in the womb. So he need therapy because he can't lift his fucking neck. So one of them looked at you from the side and the other one got frog eyes.
You know what? I'm just glad I was sitting here and seeing
and
this live
this,
and heard all this.
Yeah,
wow.
I tell all the time, your baby's ugly as hell. And they coming the little ugly one is coming around.
Yeah.
She took the pictures like a week after they was born.
That's too soon.
Yes. Too and soon. I was like, they're fucking ugly.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Well, he was.
Even.
The
don't
other one has
this.
Always been cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a light skin and a dark skin. The light skin one has always been ugly. Mm-hmm. And he looked like Benjamin Buttman. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to grow into his ugliness.
Like he was born looking like an old man.
He's an old ass man. Yeah. And he just went through this whole thing where his hair's falling out.
Yeah,
and
so, sure.
And I told him, I said, I think my granddaughter is fucking cutting his hair when y'all not looking.
Yeah.
Because he got like little gaps everywhere.
Oh.
But I seen him, I kept him this morning and he's coming around.
Yeah.
He still got some work to do. So probably about 5 years old when he come around. But you know, that's my grandson. He's cute.
Right.
And when I post him on Facebook, this the ugly one, but he's coming around.
I've seen that. Yes.
He's coming around.
He might surprise everybody, though. And then when they grow up and they're, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, he'll be the handsome one and the other one will be the ugly one.
That's right.
Yeah.
That might happen.
Maybe.
Because he's fat, so the other one might be skinny.
Yeah. Mm. Just total opposite.
Are either of your parents still living?
No.
No.
My father was here for about 3-4 years and he died. And my mom died when I was 39. So I buried my daddy over there. I don't even know where he at.
In Indiana?
Yeah, but he don't want to be here, so I'm going to take him with me when I leave.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, he asked me, don't bury him in Indianapolis because it's snowing, it's too cold, and I kept telling
him. Did you bury his ashes then, or what did you
do? No, I buried him. I got to dig him up.
You're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to take him home.
You're going to dig up a body and move it to another cemetery.
Yeah.
That ain't cheap.
Is this serious?
Yeah.
Like, you're 100% serious.
Yeah, I don't want to leave him here because he's from the South.
I mean, it's the same way with him. I won't bury him. I'll cremate him and I'll carry him around everywhere.
That's right. Put me in an urn.
Mm-mm.
Put you in a little vial that you can
instead
carry
of
him
a.
In.
There's no way that I could put him in the ground and walk away and go, we're fine.
Natural.
I would not do that.
No, casual. I was going to burn my daddy up, but he has this whole thing where he's super Christian and he was going to get up and walk with Jesus
and
again.
And he needs to rise again.
And I said, you're not going to rise, daddy. You got one fucking leg and they wouldn't let me put it in the casket. So you're not walking with Jesus unless he's going to make your leg grow back.
Yeah.
And if you was going to walk with him with one leg, you're going to slow him down.
Yeah.
So.
Do you talk about your parents in your book?
Yeah, I do. I do. I talk about everybody in the book.
So where did all of the initial, I don't know how to put this, your dishonest life start? Is it in Atlanta? Is that where it all started?
Do you want to say dishonest? I feel like she's been very honest.
Well, no. I mean, I don't want to say life of crime because.
No, but just choosing what you had to do to sustain.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
It started in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't put it in my comedy until I moved to Indianapolis in 2006.
Right. Okay.
So that's when it really started to blossom when I moved here because there was no urban setting. Mm-hmm. For a club, so all I had was mainstream, and they was so hard on me when I first moved here. So I had to switch a lot of stuff up to get stage time. You know, in Atlanta, I kind of had a name. I was building a name. Here, I didn't have anything.
What made you come here?
My husband works at Allison.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
My husband works at Allison.
Okay.
So was it like a movie when you first started to, like, deal drugs? Was it like an accident happened and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm dealing drugs, what the
hell?
Well,
I did it because my kid's father used to pay my rent and he got locked up for selling drugs and I didn't have rent money, so I took my welfare check at the time and I needed rent money, and I was 16. I was too young to get a job.
Mm-hmm. And he was substantially older than
you,
correct?
Was 23 something like that. And so I just used the money to, you know, I was like, well, everybody say when you sell drugs, you buy this and it doubles your money. So I spent $250 for my welfare check and borrowed a few dollars from my girlfriend. I think it came out to like $280 or $300. I don't remember. But anyway, I bought the drugs and I doubled it. Ended up making $500.
In like the next day or the next week?
No, I was in a slower place. Probably took me a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I paid her back and then took the rest and bought more drugs. And then I was able to start, that was like my first independence. I was able to start paying my own rent. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to deal with this cheating bitch who was having kids everywhere. And I was in a, you know, very abusive relationship. So when he got out, by this time I had my own trap. Mm-hmm. So I started to do it on my own.
Now, trap is your house?
No, a trap is where the area where you sell,
okay.
You know, like people say my corner, my all trap. Right. They change the words all the time to try to keep the police from knowing.
Oh, my gosh.
But make a long story short, once I got the independence, I just kept going. And I was in the projects like everybody else. And I ended up going to my old neighborhood is where I really got my own trap. And mm-hmm. I just stayed in my old neighborhood with an old friend and we sold.
So it was just you and the friend, or?
It was a lot of drug dealers because my old neighborhood was next to the projects. So, you know, everybody get their own little area. Nobody had claimed that area at the time, mm-hmm. so me and him claimed because his mom lived on the street. But that's mm-hmm. the street I grew up on where we moved.
Okay.
So that's where I sold the drugs at. Yeah.
Man.
But you never had any issue with addiction.
No, I don't. Food.
Don't
get Chick-fil-A.
I love
that. Oh, man.
That's about it.
You know, if the only way you could get Chick-fil-A was going out, standing on a corner, buying it for somebody, I'd do it. I think I would.
You can't walk into the mall without Chick-fil-A. Oh, you want some Chick-fil-A?
Man, that stuff's so good.
Every time. No, but you never got into it.
You know, I never got into drugs because I grew up, and it wasn't like crack or nothing back then, but it was weed and alcohol. I had a real big problem with alcohol.
Okay.
No, I didn't use it. I just hated it because my mama drunk gin and juice or gin and water all the time. And as a kid, we would have to go, and when she wake up, we knew time she opened her fucking eyes to be there with 2 cubes of ice, some gin, and a cup of water because she liked her shit with water.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hated it because the way it made her act.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, I based my whole life of coming up from watching white sitcom like Leave It to Beaver.
Okay.
And I used to always say, why the fuck aren't my mama like Miss Cleaver? Mm-hmm. This shit don't go down in the Miss Cleaver house. Mm-hmm. She don't be running around here beating motherfucker with belt, calling them bitches and hoes and people dancing. And I said, the Beaver never had to dance for drunk people. Mm-hmm. So I based my whole life off of that show, and it just made me hated the situation that I was in. Because if Miss Cleveland didn't do it, it wasn't right. I don't know what made me attracted to that fucking lady.
That
was the mama that I wanted.
Yeah.
When you came home from school and mm-hmm. she helped you with homework, mm-hmm. I always had those pearls on, and I always fucking had food on the table.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't never walking home and smelt no goddamn food.
Yeah.
You know, she actually did say on one of the shows, Ward, that was mm-hmm. her husband, you were a little hard on the Beaver last night.
I know. And
she actually said that.
Yeah.
On one of the, but
she
that was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Beaver, but she was.
See,
I mean,
a Beaver's a slang for puss. And,
mm-hmm. Thanks,
okay,
babe.
Never mind. Okay.
Yep, we got it.
But you know, and that show kept me. I think I've realized now the whole, my whole life I was searching for that lifestyle.
You were wanting that.
Yeah, I wanted that.
You know what, Ms. Pat, if I identify you know the, with that because
you know the
I,
last the last time we did a podcast, I realized how much I had in common with Miss Pat, and I think this podcast you're going to realize
how much I identify. Yeah, that I kind of created the life I wish I had growing up, and not having that strong relationship with my mother, like almost wanted. It's probably why I had children young, and said, "Well, I want to be that mother I didn't have." Like that relationship. My mother and I were so close in age that we identified as sisters way more than we identified as mother and daughter. And I just wanted that mother experience. And so I created that mother experience and had children early. So
yeah, and you know, I think I one thing I realized about teenage pregnancy, like when I had my daughter, I was searching for something. Like mm-hmm. I truly think when I had her, I remember telling myself, now finally I got somebody in my life that's gonna love me mm-hmm. regardless. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kept her.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons, because I wanted to be loved. And I knew this baby wasn't gonna judge me, didn't know anything about me. And
love you unconditionally.
Unconditional. Yeah. And I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it happens to a lot of young girls. Mm-hmm. You know, you searching for stuff. And I know with an older man, like what I was dealing with, it was more like, I didn't realize until I got older that I was searching for like a man figure, a father figure in my life.
Yeah.
But instead I got taken advantage of mm-hmm. because I remember when I thought he was like crack, I couldn't do without him.
Yeah.
But now I look back and I'm like, God damn, you stupid.
Do you have any contact with him?
Yeah. You know what? That's what my husband said the other day. He's like, why are you so nice? How can you? Because my husband never spoke out against my kid's father. He mm-hmm. always said, I'm not your kid's father. Don't ever talk about your kid's father. Don't put him down.
Yeah.
You know, let them learn who he is once they grow up.
Right.
So all the years we spent together, he never really known anything about my first kid's father. He read the book and he literally said, fuck that nigga. He read it was it
and
took
it
the
wasn't
book.
Until then that he had
yes.
any idea
this year, excuse me, but
no
that was that's I, and it opened. He was like, I had no idea. It's a lot of stuff in that book my husband had never known about me.
Did you try to brace him for it?
It's in the book.
Here
when
you
read it, it say when my husband get to chapter 5, he's going, it's a story I never told him.
Right.
And it was a lot of stories. And he's like, what? She never told me this stuff. So until he was, and also writing this book, I realized one thing that I didn't know about myself. It's like when you've been hurt or violated, a lot of times the victim will protect the accuser.
The attacker.
Yeah. The attacker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had no clue. Like when she went to go, I would tell her these stories. She's like, oh, we're going to put that in the book. I said, don't say that about them. So yeah. She was like, do you understand what you're doing?
You're and I'm defending
like, no.
Them. Yeah.
She was like, you're defending them. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, yes, you are. And I had to sit down and take a breath like, oh. Why do I take up for these people who violated me, murdered me?
Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm Syndrome. It's where you're, it's the same concept of when you are kidnapped and you defend your kidnapper.
Yep.
And you have a, like a loyalty to your kidnapper and you say, no. Right. They did right by me. Like they were taking care of me. Like it's okay.
That happened with a lot of slaves in the South. When they were finally let free, they were like, they didn't know what to do, and they had a loyalty to their owner. Yeah, mm-hmm. same concept.
They didn't know
where
to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you had somebody over you all those years and feeding you bullshit, and you know, that was the only place you lived, where would you go?
Yeah.
Where would you go?
So, what would you do?
And it's shaping you as a woman and, mm-hmm. and your opinion of yourself. Like, that's...
And I didn't realize that until writing the book, because she would stop me and say, hey... You got to get over this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want people to see my mama as a bad person, mm-hmm. but now that I look back, I was like, fuck, that's no way to raise a kid. Mm-hmm. And I had that writing this book was able to let me let go some more. I thought I had it up under control.
Right.
But when I got to writing this book, tears and shit, I mean, it's mm-hmm. nothing like crying with somebody who wasn't there, which there was many times we had to hang up and say, we need a boy. Like, she couldn't take it all.
Yeah.
And then I would get really upset because she's black, but she's from Canada. And she would, like, I would think it would be stupid question. Like, she's like, what's a food stamp? I'm like, bitch, you know what a food stamp is.
And she had no idea.
What it look like? I don't. You know what a goddamn food stamp look like? You're black. She's like, I don't know what a food stamp look like. I'm from Canada. We didn't get food stamp. I came here to go to college.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't know what a food stamp. You had to Google a food stamp because they don't give you food stamps anymore. It was just so much Black America shit that she did not know or wasn't familiar with.
You're not just sharing your story. You're teaching someone who has no idea about the culture you were raised
in. Well, she wrote about a lot about like girls like me, but like to dig into a lifestyle like mine. And some of the stuff she just was not familiar with.
Yeah.
And it was pissed me out because she would be black. And then she was black. And the other problem we had when I would go call people from my past, and you know, she's educated. So mm-hmm. she would get on the phone and she's like, beg your pardon. They was like, I don't talk to white people. This a fucking white person. I say, she fucking black. So so I tell her, hey, stop saying beg your pardon. These black people don't want to hear that shit.
Oh.
And one time my brother told her, he was like, oh, she white. I don't want to talk to her. I said, she's not fucking white. She's black. He was like, well, goddamn, you got all your education. And we could not stop laughing.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
The fuck you mean you got all your education?
Oh.
So it was we struggled calling people from my past because they was like, rabbit, she white. And I was like, no, I promise you, she fucking not. Black. And I'm like, can you drop some of them correct syllables? You scared my people.
So who did you dedicate your book to?
My family, my kids.
Yeah.
Overcoming the bullshit in my life, my kids. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, after I had that first child, I had to start, my motherly instincts kicked in and I had to really start. You know, it made me realize I don't want my daughter to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want, and at the time I didn't even have a son, so I didn't even know what a father figure was supposed to be like. But I know I didn't want her to go through the bullshit that I went through. And, you know, at that time I was in an abusive relationship. I was 14. He was already hitting me.
Yeah.
So I just started to say, you know, I got to live for her. I don't want her to be poor. I don't want her to know what it is to eat chicken ass. I don't want her to know what it is to be super fucking poor,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go without. So my mother instinct kicked in.
Yeah.
Then I got pregnant again at 14 and gave birth at 15.
Yeah.
So now I'm with two kids by a married man pregnant. I mean, having two kids by a married man at 15 years old, which was fucking rough.
Yeah.
That's why I don't understand how people have kids now.
No.
Now I understand what it means to be wait till you're married to have kids.
Yeah.
So that motherfucker can help you.
Yes.
So that motherfucker can help you.
True.
I had no clue. I had no clue.
Yeah.
What was the timeline with you and when you went from illegal activities to I'm going to be a stand-up comedian, and I'm going to have a situation comedy, and I'm going to write a book. And
I met my husband in 93. Well, we met in late 92, 93. Got married real quick. Moved over into a house. Got custody of my sister's kids. And I ended up moving to Riverdale, Georgia. You know, trying to turn my life back around, trying to get a job. I went to school for medical assistant. Really couldn't get anything because I'm a convicted felon. And I went and met the casework, and she thought I was funny. So around 2001, 2002, something like that, I started being a comic. And what made me really stick with it was that you could make a lot of money, and they didn't check your criminal background history. So right. I had nobody fucking with me about my past. They just wanted to give you a mic and be funny. I was like, y'all ain't going to check my fucking McDonald want to check my criminal background history. Right. When I was a medical assistant, they want to check my criminal background history. So it was a job I got into that I didn't have to hear no as far as what I did in my past. Mm-hmm. So I think we was together probably 10 years before I became a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say convicted felon, what were you convicted of?
Selling drugs.
Selling drugs, like what, cocaine or?
Crack. Crack. I think we got locked up one time for credit card fraud. Just a fucking fool. Running over crackheads, fighting, shooting my baby daddy.
You got shot in the boob.
Yeah. And then he shot me. I shot him back. Well, it was just some crazy shit.
Isn't it funny that you, because I'm not anything that extreme, but my background with my mom, I mean, it got physical and mental abuse and all that. But you tell people those stories, and I can see it on your face. I mean, you're used to... telling the story, but it doesn't, in your brain, in my case, it doesn't seem that odd. I mean, I know it is, and it's strange, but, you know, it, and I can see Caitlin's face going, oh my God, you did what? You it's really extraordinary life.
Well, you know what's crazy? Because when I moved here and I was starting to tell my story, and people be like, oh my God, you made it out. I didn't understand what the fuck they meant. It was like, you made it out. Made it out from where, motherfucker? Because I moved.
I got older. I changed what my are you address. Talking about? Yeah, right.
You
right.
get older, you get wiser, right?
Yeah.
But they were always like, oh, you made it out. And I didn't realize that. I mean, my whole goal in life was to break the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, to make sure my kids didn't go down that train I went down. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand when people were like, you made it out. It wasn't until probably 5 years ago or 10 years, maybe 5 years ago, because I've been here 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started hearing that you made it out. You changed your life. And I was like, everybody don't live like this.
Everybody doesn't have to overcome these being a convicted felon. And
you know, and it's my kids. I look at my kids and sometimes I get so fucking jealous because their lifestyles, they don't fucking, they're black, but they don't know shit about like where I come from. If I tuck my son to the hood, that motherfucker lock every door on that car and crawl up under the hood. When I take him to try to visit my relatives, he gets so fucking scared. He's like, what's wrong with these people? Well, and then, you know, when you talking to black people who speak Ebonics and shit, not correct English, they be like, why your kids sound white? And my kids like, what the fuck you mean I sound white? That's how you supposed to talk. So they can't connect because why you talking like that, motherfucker? That ain't how we talk. Oh, yes, it is. How we talk when you graduate from high school,
right? Yeah.
So my kids get they it trips me out when I take them to the hood. They very uncomfortable. Mm. It's like taking a white kid and never seen a black kid. You know, I used to have a bit about this, like when I would walk into Walmart and white babies just stare at you. It's like one of those moments. You know, y'all white, but white babies love staring at shit that they're not familiar. They just like, what are you? Well, what the fuck are you, white baby? Stop looking at me like that. And I used to say, white people, you should take your white babies on a practice drive-by so they can stop staring at us in the fucking store. And I'll never forget, I was eating a Kit Kat one day, and the white baby wouldn't stop looking at me. I was like, do you want some of this fucking Kit Kat? Because you're not getting none. Now, I open you one, and you can ask your mama to steal this for you like I'm about to steal this for me.
So what's the timeline on the book release? Or you can Tuesday. You pre-order? Can
Tuesday.
You
Tuesday? Yeah, please pre-order Amazon.
We need a pre-order Barnes on and Noble. Amazon right now.
Yeah. Put her on Amazon. Yeah, pre-order it on Amazon now. And what's the timeline for the TV show? Is that production starting?
No, we're in outline stage. So hopefully October. if everything go right. You just never fucking know with TV.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot. They try to make sure they get it right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So, I mean, I try to. Me and the guy who from Everybody Hate Chris is the writers.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Ali Leroy, who mm-hmm. helped create Everybody Hates Chris. So I just give it to him, and then I go focus on shit I got control of, like comedy. Mm-hmm. I can do comedy. Mm-hmm. Comedy is my shit. You know, writing, that's not my... They didn't hire me to write. Yeah. They hired me to write with him.
Share your story.
Yeah, share my story with him. So I just focus on the shit to keep... Because mm-hmm. you go, I need the TV show. Oh, I need the TV. I don't have time for that shit. I need to go out here and make people laugh.
Yeah.
So that's my focus.
So will you be, like, trying to get my stage time while you're
doing... What are your upcoming gigs?
Doing the show?
I'm at Morty's August 25th, 26th for a book signing.
Oh, next week. Okay.
Next week in Indianapolis. So I'm doing that. And then I'm off to New York to tape Harry and do some more radio. Then I'm off to I don't fucking know. Go to my website, MissPatComedy.com.
Okay, okay. MissPatComedy.com.
Mm-hmm. MSPAT.
We gotta come. We gotta come to your book
please
signing.
Next week.
Yeah. Please, please.
Come to Morty's.
Yeah, I'll be there with the book signing, and they have books there.
Okay.
Barnes and Noble and Karma is coming out to sign it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna be signing. Oh, okay.
I'll be autographing the book
in Karma.
No, in at Morty's, the bookstore we chose, Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, they're bringing it.
So hopefully we get a good crowd and we sell a bunch of books and I can get my black ass on the best time.
we want that for you too.
I need this.
From the GED class to the bestseller list.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the cover. And I love your UK cover too.
Do you?
I do. Did you like that one?
That is not me on that UK cover.
Shut up. Who is it?
I know everybody's like, they just pick some poor-ass black kid with a dirty coat on and everybody think that's me.
Is that right?
Oh my gosh.
No, that's not me on that UK cover. I was like, who is this poor bitch when I seen the cover?
I like it. It's a good cover. It looks like a good cover. It's a good design.
It is a really good design.
When does your book come out?
August 22nd.
22nd there too. There. Oh, okay. It's the same in the UK and the US.
Yeah, in the UK.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'm excited. I'm excited it's in the UK. I am.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So,
you
should
absolutely be excited.
You know what? Everything is coming full circle. I remember 10 years ago when I got here, I did not want to be here. I did not want to leave Atlanta. I wanted to go to Dallas, a bigger city.
I know, and you missed Atlanta. I know.
I missed Atlanta. And I tell you, sometimes you have to be still and let God guide your steps. And, you know, finally he said, bitch, shut up. And maybe I got something for you here with all these nice white people in this corn. Because the corn was throwing me the fuck off. I was like, these people grow corn.
There's a lot of corn.
Can you eat it? And the first, you know, I used to have a bit about, I thought the corn was grass. And the man who's going to sell me a house, he pulled over to the side of the road and he couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, what the fuck are you laughing at? These people don't cut their grass. And he's like, that's not grass, that's fucking corn. And I'm like, what the fuck? I call my husband, man, these people grow corn. I don't want to come up here with this bullshit. But, you know, Indianapolis has been nothing but good to me. Mm-hmm. The Midwest has been good. Other than the snow fucking up my weave, mm-hmm. other than that, it's been good.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't had a bad snow, two or three years.
2006 was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
The year I moved
the
here.
The last
and,
worst,
yeah. And the year y'all won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so glad y'all quarterback hurt, because y'all going to be the Cleveland Browns this year.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop as any.
I just would like to acknowledge that I don't think any of us in this room are actually Colts fans, so it's fine. We're fine. None of us are Colts fans.
Well, y'all know who the fuck I like. Maddie Ice.
MissPatComedy.com. Yes. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you, Jess. Mm-hmm. Good night, everybody.